Blog Talk Radio.
This is a Razor Edge production, AARP, Aging in Place. And here is our host, Reverend Radio Ray Razor.
Good afternoon and welcome to AARP Aging in Place, where a show that we talk about, well, they call them, they used to be senior citizens, but I think we have a new term for them now. Since so many people living almost to be 100, we call them older adults. And so we have a two-part show for our audience today. And Miss Renee, our host with the mostest announcer, is going to tell us about them. Greetings. How are you doing? Welcome, Miss Renee.
And thank you so much, Reverend Ray. Are you enjoying this summer weather in the fall?
Let me just say this. I'm carrying a coat around with me, and I don't know when to put it on or when to take it off. And my dog, my guide dog, Miss Raven, is really baffling her when it comes to her coat. She don't know the shed or what. So we are really struggling.
Well, we've got two great guests today. Now, AARP, you've seen those distinctive block lettering, but did you know that it is the largest nonprofit, nonpartisan group that sees aging, one, as an opportunity, and two, values older people as a valued resource? But today, in our first half an hour, we're going to learn more about AARP and how they're organized on the state level. And our guest is Tammy Bresnahan. She is the Senior Director of Advocacy. And in our second half an hour, we are going to talk to Rose Hobson, and she will give us tips on AARP, driver safety, and how we can brush up on our senior driving skills. So what do you think about that, Rev?
Seeing how I'm blind and not driving anymore, I do hope she's keeping these people's skills up, because when I step off that curb, these people turning on red and all kind of stuff. Yeah, I appreciate her. So I'm really looking forward to having that discussion with her and AARP, I guess. I didn't even realize that they had AARP was that robust. So I'm looking forward to hearing more about it, especially since I'm a AARP cardholder now.
Exactly. Well, let's welcome Ms. Tammy Bresnahan. Welcome, Tammy.
Well, good afternoon, Reverend and Ms. Renee. We really enjoy being here today.
Thank you so
much. Well, thank
you.
Okay,
before
we
get started.
Thank you.
But since Reverend Ray introduced it, let's define terms. Now, I've heard we're moving from using the term senior citizen to older adults. Does AARP have a position on that?
Well, we refer to our members in Maryland as Marylanders 50 and over. And so we don't use either term, really. Yes.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Maryland 50
now,
and over.
I remember that. Oh, I like that.
Or 50
I like
plus.
That.
Interesting.
Yep.
Yeah, 50 okay. plus. Yes. Okay. Now, your title is Director of Advocacy. Help us unpack that. What does that entail?
Well, for full disclosure, I work predominantly during the 90-day session as, you know, I have to register as a lobbyist. But technically, okay. I'm an advocate for people 50 and over. But I have to register with the Maryland Ethics Commission, and I'm registered as a lobbyist. But I also am, you know, feel like I wear that white hat and advocate for issues that affect Marylanders 50 and over.
Okay.
Let me, one moment, Ms. Renee. Let me ask you: when you say you register as a lobbyist, that's licensed you to do what? I mean, go to the legislature and lobby on behalf of 50 and old in terms of policy? Or, I mean, what exactly does that mean?
It allows me to speak to legislators about programs that, you know, that promote for people over 50. So, for example, we work on caregiving issues, helping caregivers make sure that those caregivers have paid time off from work or that they have paid sick leave. We this year will be working on a bill that will give caregivers a tax credit for the money that they spend caring for a relative. So issues like that, sometimes we work on long-term care, you know, where home and community-based services, nursing homes, assisted living, all of those in the bucket of making sure that there's a good quality of care no matter where you receive services. We also, you know, might be of interest to know that we work on utility issues. And what does that mean? Trying to keep your gas and electric at a reasonable, affordable, and reliable rate. We've also worked on expanding broadband. At one time, it was really hard if you lived in the Hyattsville area to get good connection. Sometimes in rural Maryland, there's a hard connection. So we make sure that the legislators know, hey, we have Marylanders 50 and over that live in Girdletree, Maryland, or we have members 50 and over that lived in Girdletree is actually in Worcester County, Maryland, but, you know, or that they live in Hyattsville and that they have a hard time connecting to the Internet. And why is that important? Yeah. It's important because 50 and over want to be, they don't want to be isolated. They want to be able to talk to their doctors. They want to be able to talk to their loved ones via the Internet. So those are just some of the issues that we work on.
Wow.
So AARP, but let me ask, so AARP throughout the country have counterparts like you that does this in other states and locals as well. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I just came back from a conference in Washington with all 50 states, I believe Puerto Rico, and the Virgin Islands are also have an advocacy, a senior advocacy director just like me, and Washington, D.C.
So you also have national resolutions that you all work on as well.
That's right, and we have a whole team of people in our national office at 401 E Street who work on those issues. And they are, you know, they lobby Congress as well as when we lobby our state legislators. So, you know, they work on more of the national issues like Social Security, Medicare, those top two issues that everyone is familiar with.
I've worked for years. I worked at the Justice Department that's right there on 6 and D. So I would after I caught the bus down to 7th to 8th Street, I will walk down 6th Street and pass right there at E Street and AARP. And I was wondering, what are them old people in there doing in that building? So that is the national office. Okay. Because they were very nice,
sir.
And they would help me cross the street. They would help me cross the street, you know, speak to me and stuff. And I did not realize that they, you know, that was their national office, and they, you know, had a brick and mortar place, and they were actually organized to that degree. So that's interesting to come full circle. All right, Ms. Renee, go ahead. You have some questions.
You know what? I want to start local, and then I want to expand. I mean, this is so exciting. We do hear a lot about Social Security and Medicare, but I want to keep it local just for a minute. You know, now we're beginning to realize what a dearth of caregiving is available if family and friends don't offer caregiving services. What has the legislature been willing to talk about in terms of caregivers and the tax credit? How could that work? I know they haven't passed it yet, but how close is that being a reality?
Well, the bill has actually been in a couple of years, and, you know, we've supported it every year. It's up to, you have to spend at least $5,000, and you are able to get, like, a $250 credit on your income tax. And, you know, it actually generates a pretty high fiscal note, and so they have not been willing to pass it in the years that it has been in. But we, you know, what we know about the Maryland legislature is sometimes it takes more than 1 year, more than 2 years, more than 3 years. And so this year we're forming a coalition. We have two sponsors from, I believe, I know the delegate is from Prince George's, Delegate Harrison, and we're just waiting to hear from who from the Senate will sponsor the bill. But, you know, it takes a few years for the legislature to kind of get used to an idea. So we're hopeful that this year might be that year.
Oh, I hope so, too.
Yeah,
tell me
yeah.
how AARP,
yeah, yeah,
you
yeah.
as the Senior Director of Advocacy, how do we engage Marylanders 50 and over in issues like caregiving, in issues like expanding broadband and the utility issues? I mean, so many of these issues touch us right in the pocket, their pocket book issues. How do you generate interest among Marylanders 50 and over?
Well, if you are a member of AARP, you may get some of our periodicals, like the bulletin comes out. We also have a large email list where we send emails to individuals to see if they're interested in our advocacy. What we've done is shows like this where we say, if you want to be a member of our advocacy team, you know, go to aarp.org/MD, and there is information about advocacy there. And we have recruited volunteers via the bulletin, you know, ads in the newspaper, television shows, radio shows like this, and other means through our national correspondents, asking people to get involved. And then once they get involved, sometimes they have an interest, you know, it just by happenstance, maybe they worked, you know, we do a lot of work on prescription drugs. So by happenstance, we got somebody who used to work for one of the pharmaceutical companies, and he looks at all of our prescription drug bills, and he goes to the legislature with me, and we talk to the legislators about prescription drugs and how people 50 and over, you know, they take the most drugs and they're more expensive, and a lot of these folks live on fixed incomes and they can't afford the exorbitant cost of prescription drugs. As far as utilities, we've been able to recruit folks from the community that have been maybe working in an environment where they're helping people with their utility bills, and they've come along with us and they build a team of, you know, utility advocates. And so each one of the areas that we work in, we have a team of people that lead that issue, and then they get to be the voice and the face of AARP at the legislature, talking about either their experience or other people's experience with high utility bills or with caregiving. We do also recruit personal stories in specifically in caregiving and in other arenas to talk about the impact that high prices have on individuals that are living on a fixed income.
Wow, that is, I mean, you're like hitting every issue that is important to Marylanders 50 and older. I do appreciate that. And I didn't even think about the prescription drugs, how critical that would be, because you're right. That part of the population does take more prescribed medications than anyone else. Now, you talked about that each state sort of has their own advocate for in their particular state, and then there are national issues. Does each state and county have a local chapter or a state chapter? And I'm going to have to ask you to answer that question on the other side of the break.
And, yeah, and you're listening to AARP. The show is Aging in Place. And we have our special guest is Miss Tammy. I'm not even going to try to pronounce that second name. I'll leave that to the professionals like Miss Renee. So we've taken a break, and we will be back on the other side to get to know more about as you getting older and what type of services is out there in the community for you. Miss Renee.
You are listening to Sight and Vision Disability. I'm sorry, wrong show. You are listening to AARP, Aging in Place. Back to Reverend Ray and our guest. And we had just asked her about whether or not there were local chapters and state chapters in each area.
Well, I would say that it's more regionally based. Not every area has, I mean, Prince George's County has Chapter 939, and that is the only chapter in Prince George's County, and really in the Southern Maryland, Anne Arundel County areas. We have a chapter in Gaithersburg. We have chapters in Ocean City and Ocean Pines, and then one in Salisbury and Princess Anne. We have a really active one in Frederick and Parkville. And I might be missing one, but you can kind of get my, you know, the areas that I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It's like it's not all 24 jurisdictions in Baltimore City. There is a Baltimore City chapter, but there's pockets of these chapters. And for the most part, they are very vibrant. And we try to give them support, you know, by, you know, going to their meetings, helping them recruit, and keeping them in our fold so that, you know, we do show numbers when it comes to the legislature. Chapter 939 in the Prince George's County, they are very active on our issues, and they come to meetings, and they are a force to be reckoned with. I can always count on them to help us with our policy agenda.
Yeah, so we'll relay that to the president. Go ahead, Ms.
How does a person get involved in an issue that might be of importance to them through AARP? Do they come to a meeting? Do they email you? How do they get involved? Because a lot of people are on the sidelines, and they're just not quite sure, how do I let my legislators know that I'm struggling with utilities, or I'm struggling with high medical bills, or I need help with caregiving for a loved one?
Well, if they go to, so I just finished working on our 2024 legislative priorities, and within the next month or so, they will be up on our website at aarp.org/MD. And in those priorities at the very bottom, if people want to get involved, they can send us an email. And like I said before, if there's issues, a lot of times it's been word of mouth, like our utilities team. You know, the woman that leads our utilities team lives in Baltimore, but she's done a lot of work in the social service arena around energy assistance and, you know, and people that are getting, that have been on a third-party retail energy supplier. She's done a lot of work in that arena to make sure that people's bills are stabilized. And then she's recruited people within her own, like, community. And we have had people that, you know, maybe they've come to us with a utility issue, and then I forward them to her. The same thing with our prescription drugs. We have a gentleman, like I said, that used to work for the pharmaceutical companies. But, you know, then we have people that come to us off of the website, and they want to work on some of these prescription drug issues. So then we refer them to, you know, the team lead on that. So it's some of it's by the word of mouth, some of it's by our advertising. You do, if you want to be an advocate, say you just want to email your legislator when our issues come up, you have to opt into our emails as an advocate done through the website.
Okay.
Mr. Knight, let me ask you, unless you have one to follow up with that question.
Go ahead, sir.
Do you have a – okay. Let me ask a couple of things that tie into what you said that Mr. Knight asked. For, one, of 350 million people in the United States, do you have an idea of what are seniors these days? I know we have over 70-some million baby boomers. Is that the figure that we use in terms of what is all the adults now?
I can tell you that we have about 48 million members across the country, and most of them are over the age of 50. In Maryland,
okay,
that number, that Maryland looks like, what the number looks like is, we have about 850,000 and change members just in the state of Maryland, AARP members. We have, like,
you break it up.
Yeah,
Go ahead now, Ms. Tammy.
I think he's breaking up. Is it still me?
Yeah, we are. No,
yeah,
I don't know. The board, we're just having some problems. We'll soldier on, and
okay.
I don't know where the issue is. I don't have an issue on the board.
Okay, well,
go ahead,
just put that. We have more people over the age of 65 in Maryland than we have children in public school.
Wow.
Oh. Okay, now, and given that, let me ask you this, because as a disclaimer, I work for Prince George's County at large, Councilman Hawkins. I'm on his staff, and I handle constituent services for persons with disability and seniors. And when I get a lot of calls from seniors, over 50, and I give them information, they say to me, they say, Reverend Ray, I don't know how to use a computer. And seniors on this divide. How many people are we losing or not getting information? And I guess it really came prevalent during the COVID. People that do not have the computer, not only can afford a computer and internet, but just don't have the knowledge. Use a computer. Are those people, man, a large majority of people being left out?
It's really hard to say. It's something that we are cognizant on. During the legislative session, I tried to do a hybrid approach. Like, we will have meetings in person, or we will do a virtual call. The legislature has also gone to a hybrid approach where, you know, either people can testify from home or they can come down to the, you know, during COVID, of course, everything was virtual. And I will tell you, our friends at Chapter 939, you know, they stepped up, and that chapter even grew during COVID because of the virtual meetings that they held every year. So I hear you, and I know that, you know, people can reach us. I don't have the phone number off the top of my head, but I can get it for your viewers at a later date. But, you know, they can call us, and I do talk to people on a regular basis. But it has been, you know, more and more we're becoming technologically dependent. And so, but we do hear you, and we do recognize that there is a portion of our constituency that just don't have or won't or can't afford a computer or don't have it. I mean, I know I have a 73-year-old sister, and, you know, she uses it very, very, you know, she never checks her email. She doesn't, you know, she doesn't go on the internet. She doesn't have a Facebook page. And so I am cognizant to that. So we do try to do a hybrid approach when it comes to keeping our people informed.
Yeah. 939. I mean, those members, they really stepped up during COVID. As you say, they are growing in spite of what was going on with COVID with 2 years. And they are very, very rambunctious, a bunch of people. So, seniors. Yes,
they absolutely.
And they just celebrated their 50th anniversary also of as in existence this year. So we want to make that note.
Okay, so now we're talking about 939, and so I have a question. How does a person become part of AARP, aside from getting your card when you're 50 years old in the mail? That one just comes automatically. You are now eligible to become part of AARP. It was a little daunting for my son when he and I got, when he realized he also had a card and I was a member of AARP. He said, gosh, I'm getting old. I'm in the same club as my mother. But how does a person become a member?
Well, you know, like I said, most of that is done. You will get that card automatically when you turn 50. Some people get it before. And I will tell you, if you are younger, you should feel privileged because you're never too young or old to start thinking about retirement. You know as well as I know, today you're 25, tomorrow you're 55. And then you're staring retirement down the face, you know. And, you know, so, you know, the sooner that card comes and the sooner you start reading about it and understanding, you know, like the Rev said, you know, babies born today are more likely, I think it's the number is 75% more likely to live to be 100. And you just want to make sure that you have enough money put aside in order to live to 100 in the manner that you are accustomed to. So becoming a member at the AARP, getting that card, you know, being able to exercise the benefits, because there are benefits. You all know what they are, you know, the you know, the different shops and, you know, the hotels and the rental cars, all that kind of stuff. That's part of the benefits. Then there's the benefit of belonging to a chapter, which is the 939 way. And that's more of a social club, keeps people engaged, keeps them interacting, and it keeps them, you know, well into their older age, you know, affiliated with something and someone special and in an area where they can just be lifelong members. And it's not like golf or tennis where, you know, at 80, you know, it's really hard to hit that 120-yard tee shot, but you can always go to 939 and enjoy a cup of soda or, you know, a cookie and have some fun with your, you know, counterparts.
Yeah. Line dancing or something like that.
Right. The first time we went, the meeting starts at noon, and we got there, it was about 11:30, and the parking lot was full. And I said, it must have been sooner than I thought, because we could hardly find any parking close to the building. And we go in, and people are talking to one another, and I said, well, what time does the meeting start? And she said, 12 o'clock. And I told my husband, these people don't even get to church this early. They get to this meeting because it is such a vibrant such an active, vibrant group, and just the camaraderie that is present.
Yeah. But let me ask you this before we go real quick. As you all pay attention to trends, AARP National, in this country as it gets older, what is the attitude towards seniors? And that's in terms of commercials, selling products to commercial or targeting products to commercial. What is the attitude towards seniors and just?
Well, I do think, and this is anecdotal only, and I watch, you know, I haven't pulled the plug, so I still get, you know, regular TV, that I do see the trend is to make sure that population is represented, because we know that the older you get, the 50 and over in Maryland, they are an economic engine. And I do believe that advertisers and others are making sure that they are represented. on TV, radio, and, you know, the two candidates running for president, I mean, they're,
right.
You know what I mean? It's an older population,
same,
right?
Yeah. All right. Thank you very much. We're getting ready to go to our major break. Ms. Renee, anything, instructions before we go to our next guest? How?
No, we'll come back on the other side, and we'll thank Ms. Tammy for joining us today. But right now, are you looking for an older, for an active older adult group that cares about all the issues facing older adults? Check out AARP 939 of Suitland, Maryland, the only chapter in Prince George's County. President Katherine Williamson invites you to join her every first Tuesday of the month. The next meeting is Tuesday, the 7th of November, at the Knights of Columbus Hall, 3611 Stewart Road in District Heights, Maryland. That's the Knights of Columbus Hall, District Heights, Maryland, on Tuesday, the 7th of November. If you need more information, you can email them at aarp939@yahoo.com. That's aarp939@yahoo.com. Ms. Tammy Bresnahan, we want to thank you. We have learned so much today, and there's so much more that I'd like to learn, and maybe Reverend Ray, we can invite her back so she can talk about the legislative priorities both nationally and locally, so we can get people excited and out to vote.
Yes,
I'm
happy
to come
back. Thank you so much, Ms. Tammy. Yes, ma'am. Well, we'll need you to, because as I get older, I need to know more and more what's being done for me. So, yes, and I know I'm going to have complaints. Okay, thank you. Thank you.
Happy
thank
to
you.
Come anytime.
Well, again,
thank you.
Thank you for joining us. Thank you again. Okay, and we'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Yes.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right, Ms. Renee. I thought I'd say I'm getting ready to look for my driver's license, but I never had a driver's license. I never had the opportunity to drive. And all people in my working capacity or my community work and being in disability groups, especially blind groups and seniors getting older, and I would ask them, what is the number one thing that you regret losing your sight or getting old, you know, or physically getting older? And they say that driver's license. Giving up their driver's license seemed to be not a badge, but a representative of independence. So you're going to introduce our next guest, and we're going to talk about some of that.
Yes, we will. Now, have you ever been at, well, not you, Rev, but anybody else listening, have you ever been at a four-way stop and you're unsure who has the right of way, or you're not sure when you can begin exiting a freeway? Do you wait for the hash mark? Or can you move over sooner? And our next guest can answer those questions and many, many more. Rose Hobson is the AARP Maryland State Driver Safety Program Coordinator. Well, you can't say that fast. Welcome, Ms. Rose.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, great.
We are wonderful.
Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank
you
for being our guest today.
Yes, indeed. How did you get involved in driver safety?
Well, I retired from the FBI about 16 years ago, and I attended a driver safety class. Was sitting in the class and say, I think I can do that a little better than she does. So then I decided to take the class training, and I became a driver safety instructor, which I truly love. And once I became an instructor, then I became a trainer. I became the deputy instructor, and today I am the coordinator for all driver safety programs within the state of Maryland.
Wow.
Wow. Okay. Now, is it a driving course that you offer, or is it a safety course, and is there a difference?
It's very different. We do not offer in-car driving. We only offer in-class instruction, person to person.
Okay, okay. And so walk us through, for those of us that can't quite wrap our heads around that, tell me what it's like. So how many people are in the class, and do you instruct them on what they're doing and doing right and doing wrong? Give us an idea of what we can expect when we show up to your class.
Well, let me tell you a little bit about the AARP Smart Driving Course. Brought to you by AARP, it's the nation's first and largest refresher course designated specifically for older drivers. I call them the fearless 50-plus, although anyone,
oh wow,
whether you're a teenager or an older adult, you have a way to get to where you want to go from A to B, going safely and easily, and maintain your independence. And what we do, we have classes throughout the state, well, all over the country. Every state has a driver safety program. But in the state of Maryland, we have 60 volunteers who teach the class, but only 20 are active today because of the pandemic. And what happens is we schedule those classes. We'll schedule the classes in churches, in community centers, in libraries. The only place we can't have a class is in someone's home. So we can have a class. And what happens is you need to have at least 5 people to have a class. We as instructors are not paid. We do not take gratuities. We do not pay the facilities either. So it's a partnership between the facility and the instructor. And the facility provides a room, table and chairs, video equipment, audio equipment if they have it. Some of us bring our own audio equipment, but all they need is a TV and a DVD player, and we'll hold the class. Of course, they got to have some chairs and some participants. And you can have as 5 to, now we have a cap of 25 per class.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And when the instructor comes in, the instructor brings all the resources needed to instruct that class. We have our own manual. We have giveaways. We have pamphlets, additional information. We also bring the Smart Driver course state-specific laws because laws change over time. Actually, they change every year, some of them. So we want to keep our volunteers, want to keep our participants up to date on what's going on so they can be smarter and safer drivers.
Sounds so good. You know how you see on the back of cars when it says new driver, inexperienced driver, please be patient? I think you should get some of those stickers and it say fearless 50-plus, and they should be given out after you complete the course. I love that. I love them.
That you know that person took that class. But let me ask before you ask the next question, Ms. Renee. Ms. Rose, have these laws and whatever change every year, have people not taken a class? And I know, like, if you commit a crime or something, they say, you know, ignorance of the law is no excuse. But how do people know every year that, you know, something has changed in terms of driving laws or instructions?
Well, Reverend Razor, unfortunately, Maryland does not do their due diligence in sending out information on the changes of the laws. Every October, some law changes. And how do individuals know? It's up on them, their responsibility to go online and look at Maryland laws and look at them and research them. And I tell everybody, if you go from state to state, you got to do the same thing. As one of the things that we need our legislators to do is say, hey, you change the law, put it out there for everybody. Everybody, just not the sign up on the beltway saying it's the law, blah, 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 because a lot of people don't know what the laws are. Now, they've been driving since they were 16, and they're driving the same way they were 16.
Well, Ms. Rose, I've been riding with my driver. And I ain't seen one time in October they've been looking on the website for the new laws.
And that's why we try to
have a
talk. That's why we enjoy looking up the laws. We'll start this year now that Ms. Rose has exposed that I don't look up the laws each year. Ms. Rose, most Marylanders over 50 are always anxious to save a little money. Does taking the class impact or affect your insurance rates or anything like that?
It may. that not all insurance companies will give you a discount, and I'm not allowed to tell you which insurance companies do. What I encourage my students to do is call your insurance company to see if they'll give you a discount for taking the class. But keep in mind, the information that you gain in the class, the knowledge that you'll get from the class, is invaluable to help you to be a smarter, safer driver.
Okay, so what is the most challenging for the older driver?
The younger drivers.
Okay.
Younger drivers, they're most challenging because younger drivers think they own the road, and they're constantly pushing the slower driver. And 9 times out of 10, the slower driver is that fearless 50-plus individual or senior driving their vehicle. Losing their independence is the number one thing about driving safely. No one wants to lose their independence because they can no longer drive safe. They no longer know how to navigate that car. They have the inability to, just be knowledgeable of what the laws are and how to react to them. So I would say independence is number one thing. I tell my class, I'm going to drive till I'm 104. Y'all better watch out.
well, that leads right into my next question. Is there an age when a driver should surrender their license?
We have a program under the driver safety program called We Need to Talk. And basically what we do in that program is, yes, because you know what?
I like it.
Each individual, if you're getting speeding tickets or you're going through stop signs or if you run red lights, you'd have put a hole in the garage, knocked over your mailbox, that's when we need to. I ask my within yourself, if you're doing all of these things, you have to tell yourself, maybe I should get some help. And there's help out there for our fearless 50-plus when they get to that age where they're not driving as safely as they possibly can. And
ARP,
we're responsible as it is to help these individuals to maintain their independence.
Well, you know, I've gotten to the point now when someone invites us somewhere, I want to know from what time to what time, because I don't drive after the dark anymore. I found quite by accident that I really didn't see that well, whether it's early morning or whether it's after night. When does a driver know that nighttime driving is really no longer safe for them? And does it change between people? Can some people drive, you know, many years into their senior years in the evening, or is it specific to each individual?
It's an individual. I had a lady in my class. She was 94 years old. She drove from here to California by herself.
Wow.
Depends on the individual. And like I just said, an individual needs to look within themselves when they're making errors out there while they're driving. If they're uncomfortable while they're driving, they need to ask themselves, what is wrong with me? What do I need to increase my ability to drive safely? So it's based on the individual whether or not it's time, whether they be 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, whatever age they become, they will realize they should realize it's time for me to think about my driving task. Should I drive less or should I not drive at all? And then there's always alternatives. I ask my folks in my class, what are the alternatives to you not driving? There's friends, family, ride share, you know, Uber.
Well, let me ask you this. We get ready to go to a break, but come on back to the other side of the break. I want you to answer this question, and nobody, you know, we got enough regulations and stuff. But as the society gets much older, people driving longer, should they be a mandatory, what you're teaching, a mandatory once a year, twice a year, whatever, class like yours to take when a person turns 50, 60, 70, or whatever. So I know you done had this debate probably with people. So on the other side of the break, would you respond to that? I appreciate addressing. Ms. Renee.
All right. You are listening to AARP, Aging in Place. We are heard here every Friday at 3 o'clock p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. Back over to Reverend Ray and our very special guest, Ms. Rose from AARP. Safe driving.
Yes, Ms. Rose.
Okay, I want to say this about that. Maryland is a non-mandated state, and what that means is there's no mandate for any individual to take our class. Our legislators, on the other hand, are not willing to put forth the effort to lobby, because there's a lot of lobbyists out there. You know, the insurance company is a big, huge.
Yeah.
Therefore, they
yeah.
don't want to give that 1%, 2%. And what we were asking is that at least give 1% or 2% and make it mandatory that once you get to that age 65 that you must take a driver safety course. Well, that's not going to happen. It's an individual thing. Doctors send their patients. Some judges send their victims, I would say, to our classes, but it's not mandatory for anyone to take a driver safety course in the state of Maryland.
Well, you emphasize in the state of Maryland. So are you saying in other states they handle it differently?
Delaware, New York, they have different.
Oh, really?
Have different procedures than
okay.
you actually in Delaware. You have to pass a test. You have to send your paperwork in just to get the discount. In New York, there's just to sign up for a class. You have to meet different criteria. So we make it easier. We're a four-hour class. Now there's six-hour classes and there's eight-hour classes. Matter of fact, Maryland is a four-hour class. D.C. is a six-hour class. And Virginia is an eight-hour class, which takes 2 days. So we try to cram in we have for our seniors in a four-hour period because we're not mandated by law to have these classes.
So is it 4 hours all at one time?
Girl, that 4 hours goes by so quickly and so much fun. You really enjoy it.
Now, so is the driver safety course for AARP members only?
No, anyone, as I stated earlier, anyone can take the course. I said whether you're a teenager or older adult, anyone can take the course. But only the Fearless 50 gets the discount.
Oh, okay.
I love it. Okay, Ms. Rose, in your experience, what is some of the feedback that you've gotten from people who have taken the course?
Girl, I came to this class. I know I knew everything about driving, but you taught me something. I didn't know anything about move over law. I didn't know that if it was raining, you had to turn your headlights on if you turned your windshield wipers on. What? Change that move over law that you have to stop for everybody. You have to slow down or move over.
Explain the move over law for those until they come to your class. In the meantime, they can be doing the right thing. Explain that to people who are listening. What is the move over law? I know it, Reverend Ray. I just want to tell you I saw that when I was studying the new laws. But Ms. Rose, what is the move over law?
The move over law is if you're traveling on the roadway and there's a car sitting on the side of the road has pulled over, that's disabled and has flashing lights. Not only is it emergency vehicles, tow trucks, service trucks, now it's inclusive of your individual car. So if you're sitting on the side of the road with your flashers going, everyone who is coming down that roadway must slow down to a prudent speed, which we say is like 10, maybe 15 miles lower than the posted speed limit, or move over to the next left lane to give those folks in case they might get out of their car, you'll hit them. So you have to be aware of where you are on the road because a lot of times you can't get over to the next lane, so therefore you must slow down. So it's called slow down or move over.
Now, see, yeah. I didn't even know the slow down part. I knew the move over part. So instead of staying in the, my son calls it the old ladies lane. Instead of staying in the old ladies lane, I now drive primarily in that second lane because, as you pointed out, sometimes you're going at a speed that does not allow you to move over by the time you see the vehicle or an emergency vehicle. And so I sort of, you know, live in that second lane from the right because, you know, sometimes you don't have a whole lot of time to react. So you said,
well,
okay, that was one of the moves.
I'm sorry, most people should be driving in the because there's constant moving on that far right lane. People are exiting, they're entering, they're
right.
So you want to just to be prudent. That second lane is a little safer than sometimes the right lane. It said move over or slow down.
Well, I'm glad that you said that. Now, you were sharing in your experience some of the feedback you've gotten. What else has been surprising or memorable to you that you've gotten from someone who has taken your class?
Oh, man. I get all kinds of hugs and thank you. I'm glad I took the class. I learned a lot in your class. I didn't know about medications. I didn't know these things about alcohol and health-related issues. Man, I really didn't know that whether or not I was car fit for my own car. And that's something else we teach. Are you fit for your car? Can you fit in your car? Can you do this, that, and other things? We give them checklists to check on. We provide them with other resources that they can read because we have another program called Smart Driver Tech. And a lot of people have the new technology in their car. So we touch a little bit about that new technology. We also talk about fraud and scams in the car. You know, you take your car to a dealer.
Wait a minute, one moment before, Ms. Rose, you go to fraud scam, because I was going to ask you about the new technology. So let me have you elaborate on that a little bit. With this new technology now, and the cars are so sophisticated, the cars with this computer now, I know for blind people, it's become a death sentence because these cars are so quiet, and they are training on using the cane. We depended on the sound of the car, where it stopped in front of us, when it makes a right turn, and now you can't hear them anymore. So you really now have to be careful of as a blind person. But that's why I got me a guide dog. I figured she don't want to get hit, so I'll be okay. But given So I was going to say, so tell me, in terms of now these cars are so sophisticated, so powerful, you just touch one button, you just say something through the car, now it does whatever. And how do you all deal with that in terms of the training?
We don't train. We do have a program that's separate from the driver safety program. It's called the Smart Driver Tech class. It's a 90-minute class, and it teaches individuals about, you know, forward collision warnings, the blind spot, lane departure, drowsy driver, you name it. We go over 9 different points that you get with that newer car with that modern technology. And I also say in my class, don't let your technology drive your car. You're responsible. Don't get lazy because you have all this modern technology in your car. You are the responsible person for driving your car. So it's there for you to use. It's there for basically for your protection and the protection of others. It's a great thing to have if you have a newer car, but you have to learn how to navigate. You have to learn how to use each individual feature before you get on the road. You should learn it.
You know,
all the blind people are going to jump on me. What is your opinion on these cars coming out for blind people to drive?
You mean autonomous cars?
Driverless cars.
Afraid
of them?
Yes.
And just recently in California, an autonomous car killed a person. So they have a lot of work to do on autonomous cars. It's best for you to keep on driving with the wife. Keep on riding with
long as she's checking the internet every October, that's okay. All right. going this way.
We are near the end of the program. We haven't touched on a third of the things that you talked about. I wanted to talk about fraud. I think people are so afraid of taking their car to a mechanic or a dealer and afraid that they're going to be taken. There are so many notes that I took. Would you be willing to come back and do part two of driver safety?
There's so much to driver safety, and I would love to present it. But let me just say this. Anyone can take the class. If you're an AARP member, it's $20. Or a non-member can take the class, and it's $25. So what you should do is join AARP so you can get a $5 break.
Absolutely. Amen. That is the best. That was the best close in the world. So we definitely will have you get back. And on our website, we will have the information about how to join AARP. And if you scroll down, you'll see Miss Rose's shiny face smiling at you, encouraging you to come and take a driver safety class. Miss Rose, thank you so much for coming on with us.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yes, thank you.
I hope got a message. Another one message is aarp.org/drive and find a class near you.
Thank you much. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Well, we're going to say goodbye, Rev. We've run out of time, believe it or not. I know that you don't drive, Rev, but was that valuable to you as a passenger in a car?
Yes, very valuable, and I do want to discuss more with her the next time she come on about the autonomous car, the do's and the don'ts, because the blind community won't forgive me for that, but I do want to talk about that. All right,
you did touch on it a little bit, so I think that you'll probably be okay this time. But we're going to close out with reminding. I think you will be this time. We want to thank Miss Rose for being on. And if you want to hear this show or another show, you can find us on the website. Go to our website, revrayrazor.com. That's revrayrazor.com. You have been listening to AARP, Aging in Place, and that was brought to you by the Razor Edge Productions.